Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, guys, happy Monday. How you doing, Paul?
Doing all right. How about you?
Good. We're rolling along. Thanks to Robert Flores from MLB Network, Houston native, of course, who hopped on with us earlier. You can go back and watch that on our Twitch feed or our podcast in case you missed that. How you doing, Sean? Sean Mapes, our producer behind the glass.
Doing good. Doing good. Still recovering from Paul's xenophobia.
Yes.
Whatever. Luka Doncic, get out of my country.
Do you say the Balkans because you're not entirely sure which country he's from?
No, the Balkans are like the toughest part of Europe. They are.
Okay.
Yeah. No, seriously, they are.
What are?
No. I'm not here to disparage the.
That's where the last wars took place before the Ukraine-Russia situation is going on. It's all in Yugoslavia.
That you do know that much about history because you're saying the Balkans, and I don't even know like what world that is.
You know, it's in between the Adriatic Sea and the Baltic Sea.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah, absolutely. Been there many times. The
Astros
beating the Rangers yesterday 5-2, taking the Lone Star Series. Title.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I think it's like the battle for the silver boot or something. I think
it's
there's
Lone
an actual
Star
trophy.
Series slash battle for, yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah, what
I
is
mean,
that?
It's just not the same. There's not as much history behind it. Obviously, the Astros have only been in the American League for a little over a decade now. So it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different than if you were going up against, I don't know, the Cardinals or,
right. You
know, some of the other teams that the Astros went up against in the 80s. I guess the Mets. Be interesting to see them taking on the Mets next month. Because the Mets are actually good again.
Jake Asman, where you at?
Yeah, he's a Mets fan. Okay, good. Good lad.
I think so.
No, he's a Yankees fan. We've had this conversation.
Oh, we have. Yeah, we have.
I was
Jets
excited for a second.
And Yankees.
Oof.
Yes.
Jets and Yankees.
But they also play the Yankees somewhere in the middle of
they
that.
They do. It's a little sandwich.
There you go.
It's like a double stuffed Oreo sandwich because it's a 4-game series. Huh? So there you go. Yeah, the rivalry that you would want, like the Rangers were way better than the Astros were in the first half of the 2010s. And in the latter half of the 2010s, there's the opposite. The Astros took the belt. And Texas spent a lot of money this offseason, but, I mean, load of good that did then this weekend. They're still not scoring many runs, and the Astros continue, even if they're not scoring a ton, to just overpower everybody with their pitching. And, you know, Justin Verlander in particular, I feel like more people should be comparing him to Tom Brady. Because he's he's 39 years old, and I mean, just look at the numbers coming off of a Tommy John surgery. He has the best ERA in all of baseball, 1.22. He has the most wins in all of baseball with 6. He has the best walks, hits per innings pitched, 0.72 in baseball. He has been stupendous to open up the year, and I feel like you got to say he's the front runner for the Cy Young. I suppose I was listening to the guys on the bench talking about it this morning. I guess. He's like third or something like that in odds to win the Cy Young. So I suppose, hey, get in while he's still not number one. He's not the odds-on favorite. He's been great, but the rest of the rotation, and he was awesome on Saturday, but the rest of the rotation, too, has been good. And the Rangers, yeah, they're just not there.
Urquidy going 6 2/3. Good outing from him.
10 strikeouts, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that was much needed, I think. You know, pitching for this team, obviously, we've talked about, has been in a good position, but still some questions about Lance McCullers Jr., his recovery. Here's what Lance McCullers Jr. had to say after throwing 10 pitches off the mound.
Lance McCullers, where are you now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely encouraged. You know, this is something that, you know, it's a little bit of a finicky injury just because of, you know, where it is. And, you know, obviously I had Tommy John surgery and, you know, it's hard to tell exactly, you know, what the health of the UCL is, things of that nature. Or I should say the graph is on the MRI. It looks good, but you don't really know if you start testing it. So knowing that my elbow feels good and we feel like we've been moving in the right direction, you know, for a couple months, you know, 2 months now since spring, And I've come a long way since I started throwing about six-ish weeks ago. Been hitting my milestones. It's all encouraging.
Good for him to have the luxury of not having to come back super quickly.
I don't know why I was singing the Dirty Dancing song.
I don't know, but I actually really liked it, and I think that you should stall more.
That movie's amazing.
Great movie.
It's really, like, I saw it for the first time in the last 3 years, and I thought it was incredible. Like, that was one of my pandemic watches.
Nobody puts baby in a corner, as
Nobody
they say.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Also,
Patrick Swayze, Houston legend, RIP.
Also, in baseball news, Tim Anderson going back and forth with Josh Donaldson. Tim Anderson, a couple of years ago, referred to himself as Jackie Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And Donaldson was apparently calling him Jackie Robinson this weekend, and it caused some issues.
So I really did some deep digging into this because I wanted to be sure that I'm not talking out of my ass here. And look, who am I, as Robert Flores said a little bit earlier, to tell a black man how to feel about when he's called something? But I mean, I don't get it. To me, if you're someone in Tim Anderson who supposedly back in 2019 had said in an interview that you're like the Jackie Robinson of baseball, I mean, that's just a ridiculous thing to say. You're not the first black player to play a sport during a time that was racially more messed up than it is even now.
Right.
That's a ridiculous comparison to make. So naturally, someone who does that, if there's, I don't know, a troll like Josh Donaldson on another team, he is going to use that against you whenever Tim Anderson, who was a very talkative player, talks a lot of trash. If someone like that's there, I mean, is this not the easiest comeback in the world to say, okay, Jackie? And is that racial? Is that intentionally, like, dismissing him or something like that? Like, I'm struggling to find out why it was that he felt so insulted by it. He was asked about it on Saturday after the Yankees-White Sox game, and here is what he had to say about it.
Yeah, he just made a, you know, disrespectful comment. You know, basically was, you know, trying to call me Jackie Robinson. Like, what's up, Jackie? You know, I don't play like that. You know, I don't really play at all. You know, I wasn't really, you know, bothering nobody today. But, you know, he made a comment, and, you know, it was disrespectful. And I don't think it was called for, as I said.
That was when you guys crossed past the shortstop there at the end of the third.
Yeah, but that happened in the first time he got on, you know, and I spared him that time. And then it happened again. And, you know, it was just, you know, just uncalled for. You know, I got time to, you know, be playing like that.
You call it disrespectful. Tony just said it was racist. Is that accurate?
Yeah. Same along that line, yeah.
So you can't call him something that he called himself.
Disrespectful, maybe. Racial, at least me looking at this right now, and again, maybe I shouldn't be the one that's weighing in on it, but I don't see it. I feel like it's a troll in Josh Donaldson, who is a bleep head, being a bleep head. That's what he does. He does this to everybody. And if he's supposedly, as the PR staff for the Yankees said, like, if he's been doing this for years, then, I mean, why did Tim Anderson pick this day to snap? And we didn't get to hear from Tim Anderson yesterday with a little more context. I think the reporters were all trying to figure out, like, hang on. Like, what's the right question to ask in a situation like that?
I forgot that he had called himself Jackie Robinson.
I did too.
So when I Googled that, I was like, okay, well then what is he mad about? It's all very strange.
Right, because also, I mean,
because it involves race.
It's a sarcastic comparison. Being compared to Jackie Robinson, I would think that's pretty awesome. You know, not in this situation, clearly, because I think Anderson could probably tell that Donaldson was being sarcastic in some way, shape, or form. But
like, you call yourself Tom Brady. Not that Tom Brady is the same thing as Jackie Robinson.
I would never do that.
You have said, I am Tom Brady.
Like, I have?
When I say that you're really fit, or, you know, when you talk about your diet, your Lord and Savior.
If I said,
but in a,
I haven't been smote down, gosh, I don't even remember saying it.
But my point is, I think that there would be like a point where you and I could joke about something that you had said. Did Donaldson and Anderson think that they were on that level, and then they're not?
Look, this is what I don't get. There doesn't have to be that level. You're playing a sport. Yeah. If you want to talk trash to somebody else, you can talk trash to somebody else. And someone can choose to take it whatever way that they take it. I would think that Tim Anderson, being as vocal as he has been over the course of his career, would have a little bit thicker skin for something like this. I can understand, and there's been other situations that we have seen in baseball over the years where there has been some clearly like some some racism going on. But in this situation, I don't know. I feel like Tim Anderson went there, and I don't feel like that's what Donaldson's intent was. Mm. And I just don't like that we put that label out as casually as we do these days, because it diminishes actual racist acts. You know, everything can't be racist.
It's something that I think is going to continue. I think the conversations around it will continue because it was a hot button issue of the weekend for sure. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a quarterback responds to an AFC South owner's accusations, plus Jadeveon Clowney returning to the Browns. That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
A wise man once said, doesn't matter, Brian, AFC South champions, Brian.
Bill O'Brien. Said it to Brian T. Smith.
We talk about the AFC South on this show every now and then because it is relevant involving your Texans, but one of the biggest storylines as the season concluded last year, not just the AFC South, but really all of the AFC, was the Colts' absolute collapse. They had like a 90% chance of making the playoffs.
How'd you feel about it?
I was at the games,
You're at them, wow.
Oh, yeah, I was at the Raiders.
So you got like a real good view.
Oh, got a great view.
Yeah.
Great view.
It was a great view.
It was spectacular. 90% chance of making the playoffs as they took on the Raiders. They lost to the Raiders.
That high?
And then it all came down to the Jacksonville game.
It's like those
game.
Probability charts in the game, you know? Yeah. It must be really hard to think back
Big
about.
Big yikes. it led Colts owner Jim Irsay to say that the team's trade for Carson Wentz was, quote, a mistake, and that it became, quote, very obvious that the team needed to move on from the quarterback after the Colts missed the postseason. So we haven't heard a lot of Carson Wentz's input. We've heard a lot from Jim Irsay because Jim will go on Pat McAfee's show, etc., and talk about the disappointment and how crazy it was. But we don't hear a whole lot from Carson Wentz. That changed as he was on the Colin Cowherd podcast. Here's what Carson Wentz had to say about Jim Irsay saying that bringing him in was a mistake.
When Jim Irsay says, hey, we made a mistake, I'm like, ow, that's kind of that hurts a little, right?
I mean, it is what it is. You know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. You know, I thought last year was a really fun year. You know, I thought we did some incredible things, came up short at the end. Obviously, I struggled down the stretch there, and timing was poor. But yeah, I didn't expect that things unfold the way they did. And, you know, I thought things were in a pretty good place there. I had awesome relationships with every single person in that building. Can't say enough good things about the people over there. And kind of came out of left field. You know, he's entitled to his own opinion, and, you know, he's entitled to do what he wants with his football team.
So here's my whole thing. Carson Wentz seems like a really nice guy. If he thinks that came out of left field, if he thinks that there were not signs when the Colts were, you know, when there were some people in the locker room that were irritated that he wouldn't get the vaccine, or that there weren't big plays being made when big plays needed to be made. If he thinks it came out of left field, that is a special naivete that I wish I had.
It's pretty funny. He really doesn't seem to get that he blew it, that he has blown it
twice
as a potentially successful starter in maybe Philadelphia was going to be hard for him to succeed in after everything went down the way that it did. But I mean, everything was set up for him in Indianapolis, and he's like, yeah, I don't get it. If he just moved on from me. And it's one thing to be a nice guy, but when you're just a blissful, you know, blissfully unaware of your own surroundings, let alone what you're doing, that's not a good sign. And that means that he hasn't learned. That's mostly my takeaway from this, is that Carson Wentz has no idea that he has fumbled the ball, if you will.
For him to think that this came out of left field, I can I can assure you it did not.
No, that collapse was epic, as you highlighted, Vanessa. And sorry to keep on rubbing it in, but like 95% chance to make the playoffs. And while it's not all on Carson Wentz for that game against the Jaguars, the defense played like absolute crap. You see something like that go down, and it's just pretty amusing to see how completely unaware he is. You got to be self-aware in life, and when you're not, I've got no sympathy for you.
Troy Aikman is one of many in the NFL who have said that 2022 will be Wentz's last opportunity to prove that he is worthy of a starting job, and I got to agree with him on that. Meanwhile, former Texans star Jadeveon Clowney has decided to return to the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland, of course, has now three number one overall picks under contract. You and I were talking before the show about how with Jadeveon Clowney, like, we forget that sometimes that he's still in the league, even though it's not like he's bad.
Yeah.
He's just so quiet about things.
It's really amusing because a lot of people get so pissed when they hear his name and they think he was a bad player, including, what's funny, some of the people on the supposedly more football adept station in town act as if like the guy didn't do anything. He was one of the best run defenders in the NFL when he was playing for the Texans. He just never turned into the super productive pass rusher. But he had 9 sacks last year in 14 games. He has had a couple of times he's been close to 10-plus sacks. And people look at him as if he's this massive bust or an overrated player or something like that. No, he's exactly what he is. He is a damn athletic, strong player who is a good piece on a lot of defenses, but is not a all-time Aaron Donald type, J.J. Watt type, and not even someone approaching that, like maybe a Chandler Jones or a Von Miller or something like that. You know, he's just not that, but you don't have to be that to have a successful career in the NFL.
Is it him having been the number one overall draft pick that kind of, you know, if he's not wearing a gold jacket in a few years?
He's not going to wear, and by the way, he's not going to wear a gold jacket, but he will have
but
had a successful career.
But that's my point. It's like if you're a number one overall draft pick, that becomes your ceiling, right? That's what people expect.
I always got a kick out of Clowney. I personally like him. He was busting my mom's chops after the Seahawks beat the Eagles in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Like I think he's legitimately a goofy, funny guy. And
worked
I thought,
out with him at Plex a couple times.
He was
Jadeveon.
He was a good player here. He just didn't turn into an all-time great. He wanted a lot of money. He dealt with a lot of injury crap. Some of it not his fault. I mean, the Texans, they are culpable for some of the issues that he had early on. He had to have microfracture surgery after his first game, and they messed up the way that they treated his knee at first, where they were like, all right, well, let's just not give him any surgery and see what happens. We'll have him come back in the rest of the year. They forced him back out there, and he re-aggravated it after he tore his meniscus. And he tore his meniscus because they had that stupid pallet grass field. So, look, I'm not going to act like Jadeveon Clowney was an incredible player, but I feel like there's constantly this flawed narrative about him, about not being a good player. It's just wrong. And it people that think that they know football that claim otherwise clearly don't.
There you go. Paul Gallant with the takes on a Monday.
Yeah.
Here's the take. Tight end should be paid more. Agree or disagree?
Oh, yeah.
George Kittle was on PFT, a Pro Football Talk with Mike Florio, and brought up some really interesting points about how he thinks that as the receiver market starts pushing towards the $30 million a year range, he doesn't understand why guys like Travis Kelce, who are big, obviously, playmakers, are not in that range as well.
I once got an argument with Seth Payne about this because I thought that tight end was the most violent position in the NFL. And I forget the specifics. And just working with Seth was fun. Seth and I always would yell at each other, and it was like good-natured yelling. But my take was that if you're a tight end, when a pass is thrown your way, you're going over the middle of the field where you can either be taken out at the head or taken out below the legs and suffer a concussion or a devastating knee injury. You're also sometimes being covered by guys who are actually your size. Then, if you're not going out on a route, you are being called upon to block guys who are generally larger than you, defensive linemen. Maybe you're chipping a linebacker or something like that off of the edge. But I feel like as far as violence on a play-to-play basis and the potential for serious injury, I feel like tight end lends itself to just some of the most devastating collisions that you have, in addition to just forceful collisions on every single snap. More so than that of a running back, more so than that of really anybody. You're just in this weird spot. They should be paid more than they are. The guys who are incredibly good are great. The problem is we have this weird thing where, hey, a position, you can only pay a player at a certain position a certain amount of money. And it feels like all these teams are sort of collectively Vanessa, I would say doing an indirect monopoly or something like that, or price fixing, price gauging. Price fixing is the way to go about it, because they don't want to see these tight ends paid a serious amount of money. But it's funny that, like, people got so mad about the Christian Kirk contract. I'm surprised that no one has gone at all in trying to get one of these tight ends. And I suppose maybe because of the franchise tag, it's impossible to get one of these guys on the open market. But that, if you got one of the best ones in that position, and at that position, they should be getting paid some of what some of these wide receivers are making.
Yep, Kittle bringing up the fact that Travis Kelce, 6 seasons in a row, 1,000 yards. I'm pretty sure he has the most receiving yards of any over any wide receiver. So completely agree with him on that. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, our Monday continues. We're taking a call regarding the Astros. We would love your opinions on that. Plus, the power rankings for the NFL are out from one of the best-known journalists in the country. And Texans fans, let's just say, not happy. That's coming up on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I personally think that this is going to be a fun series between the Houston Astros and the Cleveland Guardians. That's going to be weird to say.
How many slip-ups?
Cleveland Guardians.
Over-under, how many slip-ups
I'm
for any,
just
of,
say
any of the Astros broadcasts? About, because listen, no, I'm not, and I'm not making fun or anything like that. This is, someone is going to slip up and accidentally say Indians at one point.
I think that you're going to see that with Washington. This is the first year for full year for Washington Commanders.
Yes, it
right?
is.
Okay,
yes.
So it's definitely going to happen with the NFL. Definitely going to probably happen with
MLB.
Oh,
yeah, they'll be on the lower tier broadcast in the NFL.
Right.
So it won't, there'll be all sorts of mistakes. It was really funny back in the day, Vanessa. I don't know if you remember this. This is like 2018. The 2018 season, they kept on messing up. They would confuse Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. And they would say, DeAndre Watson and Deshaun Hopkins. And then there was Deontay Foreman, too. Like, there were a bunch of guys with, like, a D insert second syllable in their name. And they were all
A comma.
DeAndre Carter.
An apostrophe.
Right. There were four guys on offense, and they would butcher it all the time. So, yeah, if they're going to butcher those things, they're definitely going to accidentally say, not the Washington football team, Redskins, but they'll probably say Washington football team or something like that.
We do have a caller. Eric would like to talk to us about one Lance McCullers Jr. Eric, what's up?
What's going on, amigos?
Yo.
Hey.
I just have a question. How many chances am I going to give Lance McCullers Jr.? I mean, talking about Carson Wentz, could this be Lance McCullers Jr.'s last? Mm-hmm. We're all here at Houston. He gets hurt again.
Well,
and also,
Eric, hang on a second. Before you get to the second point, look, he's under contract for a while. You know, I don't think this is his last chance at all. Now, I'm concerned that potentially he could get hurt or something like that again, but he is with the Astros for the long haul. Continue.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool and everything, and I like the guy, but, you know, he's always getting hurt, filling up a roster spot. If Dak doesn't do well this year with the Cowboys, could he potentially be traded or released? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, we're talking.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for coming,
Eric. Thank you for coming. Thank you for calling. God, Monday. What?
Yeah, I'm curious as to where we're going on that road, and I'm just gonna remove myself from the gutter and come back here. Hey, Dak Prescott was the second question, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to trade Dak Prescott.
No.
Look, you got a good quarterback like that. Like, what do you get for
him?
What
the premise of his first question was regarding how many you know, chances do you give an athlete. The biggest difference, other than it's a completely different sport, with Carson Wentz and Lance McCullers Jr. is that Wentz had some leadership issues. This was the second team in which he had leadership issues, and that was a popular narrative. He also crapped the bed in what should have been the road to a playoff run. So it really is different. I do know what he's saying with Lance McCullers Jr.'s injuries, but I don't think the Astros are even thinking about
yet. He's under contract. Like, he's here. He is here. And I don't think many teams are going to potentially bite at a trade offer for McCullers, given his history and what kind of a salary he's making with the injuries that he deals with. So now it's about finding the best way to manage him, and that's why I've been very intrigued by the idea that we talked about with Robert Flores. Check out the interview on the Vanessa and Gallant podcast. He was on with us at 10:30, and that Keith Law had brought up too. I'm curious about the idea of moving him potentially to the bullpen when he comes back. As far as Dak Prescott, look, I don't think the Cowboys would get as much in return as they would want for Dak Prescott to potentially make a trade. And, you know, they gave him the extension already. Are people going to trade for Dak when he is clearly in this zone of like the 7th to 10th best quarterback? How much are someone going to, is someone going to give up for him? I mean, there's always a desperate team out there, but would he want to go there? Prescott's going to be there until Dallas finds a viable replacement. Maybe someone, you know, sort of like with Tony Romo and Drew Bledsoe, someone right. Wally Pipps Prescott. But no, they're going to roll with him because the first half of last year, Prescott was awesome. He was great for the first couple of games.
Yeah, there was all of the tears and the love of him coming back from that injury for sure. Speaking of, our last caller brought up football and Carson Wentz. Let's talk about the football power rankings.
Ooh.
Peter King, Football in America. He released his 2022 NFL power rankings this morning, and he has the Houston Texans at number 32. Peter King, this is just his assessment, thinks that the Houston Texans will be the worst team in the NFL. Is that fair?
I mean, I guess it's fair. I don't think it's right. But should I be getting mad about the Texans being ranked 32nd as opposed to, like, what, 28th, 29th, best case scenario? I think they're in a better situation right now. Long term, I really don't know. But right now, I think that they are better than the Carolina Panthers, definitively. That is a mess. I think that they are also, by default, better than the New York Giants, too. I think the Giants are a mess. I'm curious as to how the Commanders will do this year with all of the hoopla in the background and Carson Wentz is going to fix things. So, and also, I would take a look at the Chicago Bears, too. I feel like
for maybe the worst team contender here?
Yeah. I think that Justin Fields is in a tough spot, and I don't know that he's going to be all that he has been made out to be. So, and also Atlanta, too. I think that there are a couple of other teams that I would put in the same conversation as the Texans, and I would definitely not put the Texans at 32nd. I think that that's firmly belongs to the Carolina Panthers right now. They are awful.
His bottom three, Atlanta at 30, Carolina at 31, and like we said, okay. Houston at 32. I think his bottom five is fair. He also has Jacksonville and Chicago rounding out that bottom five. I am surprised that he has the Texans as being worse than Jacksonville.
Well, Trevor Lawrence.
Is it Lawrence? Is
I think
Peterson?
It's that simple.
Is it all the high draft picks?
It's probably you know what, you're right. It's those two. Like that's it. That's it. But it's not that much to build off of. I mean, for what it's worth, Peterson did rub people the wrong way in Philadelphia.
Right.
And, you know, considering how much I thought Howie Roseman deserved to be fired, I think that Roseman's done a pretty good job the last couple of years in turning the Eagles back into a decent team. I'm surprised that he was able to actually pull that off. But then in the situation with Trevor Lawrence, it is not a done deal that Trevor Lawrence is going to be this great quarterback. He was bad a lot of last year, and Doug Peterson's going to fix him. I mean, okay, Doug Peterson didn't really fix Carson Wentz, you know?
Good point.
I mean, Carson Wentz, he had that great rookie season, but after that...
Peter King used to show Houston a lot of love when Bill O'Brien was here, and then when Bill O'Brien left, that love left with it as well. Mm. But we will see. All right, it's time to listen to me. If you own your home, grab your phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance are going to deliver big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. You know you're paying too much for home insurance, but you probably don't shop for better rates because it is a huge hassle. It doesn't have to be a hassle anymore thanks to TGS. They have a new system, and you get your quote within 15 seconds, and all you have to do is send a single text. So take your phone, text MONEY to 232323, the word MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y. You send back your home address, and you get that full quote. This company is real. The savings are legit. And their average customer from 2021, guys, is saving over $870 on their home insurance. So no one likes to shop for it, but TGS makes it the best it's ever been, the easiest it's ever been, and you're only one text away from those new quotes. So again, Text money to 232323. Get that home insurance quote and save big today.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're talking about Paul's upcoming trip to Seattle this summer and what he will wear as he visits the mistress, but the mistress is going to be with the wife.
I was debating Mariners. Doing the half shirt, but I know.
No!
I mean, it would involve buying two shirts and then paying to have someone turn it into the half shirt.
Ugh.
It would be really funny for like one post on social media, but it's not like I would be making money off of it. I'd be operating at a loss. So I might just wear my Astros, Tequila Sunrise, Nolan Ryan jersey and cowboy boots just to go full Texas. Put a toothpick in my mouth or something like that, too, when I go
say
there.
Yeehaw.
Hold a belt that says, like, 2017 World Series champions. Or maybe wear something that talks about the Astros record against the Mariners over the last 5 years. But then I might get assaulted by the Antifa or something.
Whoa. The half jerseys are only okay if you have a child playing. Or, again, if you're Brady Quinn's sister AJ Hawk's girlfriend.
But what about, I mean, yeah, but my
because
two
you should technically have three
lovers.
Then, because you used to be a Red Sox
Listen,
fan.
Listen, I'm French,
shouldn't,
Canadian.
Shouldn't there be three? Sean, am I wrong?
I'm trying to imagine how you would make a three jersey.
Right. No, but you can't leave the Red Sox out.
Yeah, I'm leaving the Red Sox out. No. They're done. They're dead to me.
I'm hosting pregame and postgame for Astros tonight
Whoa.
For this
Whoa.
Next couple games.
Whoa, we're talking
excited.
About burying the lead? That's yeah. tonight?
Yeah. I thought I told you that.
No, you didn't. I was wondering why Robert Flores said good luck to you today.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Tonight,
let's go.
Yeah.
That's tonight?
Oh, yeah. Astros, Guardians.
Oh.
Woo.
Okay, well, hang on now. Now, I mean, so it's your first night. We're not going to force you to do anything for show content.
Thank you.
But we might want, like, at some point down the road,
yeah,
we might want you to work in, like, just an impossible to work in word into the broadcast.
Vanessa and Gallant?
Well, I don't know if you'd be able to get away with that. After, yeah, a little badge reference? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to work, but we'll have to think of something in the future. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's
very excited.
That's going to be really cool
when
to see.
When I look at the camera and blink, just know that it's for you, too.
Okay.
And if Murder Is Mean comes up at any point.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
But... Well, if you're reading the highlights, you say, like, you know, that was murder. And murder is mean.
Oh, yeah. Jose Altuve just murdered that baseball. Real mean of him.
Real Although, mean.
But that might be a little bit too much for TV, too. I don't know if you can say murder on a sports broadcast.
Probably not a regional network here.
No.
Astros fans would like it, but you never know with the corporate suits. But very excited. I know a lot of you guys are obviously Astros fans, so it'll be a lot of fun. All right. It is time for our Garbage Time segment.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This is just a next level petty story. It is the headline. Future, the rapper, apparently slept with Scottie Pippen's wife, Larsa, because Pippen once denied to sign an autograph for him.
Oh my God.
I mean, that is like Eric Cartman having parents killed because Scott Tederman sold him hair of a certain sort. You know, that is unbelievable petty. And it reminds me of a story that I actually have. So,
oh no.
I was 13 years old. It was 2001. I was in Florida for the summer. This is after I'd helped my grandma move down from Philadelphia to Tampa, and my uncle Len and I, we went to Buccaneers training camp.
Fun.
And so the Bucs were really good then, and I remember being there and excited, and there were a bunch of guys that were signing autographs afterwards, and I'm still like a young kid, and I really liked the Bucs back in the day. So I remember I got a Brad Johnson autograph, who was the quarterback at the time, but then I saw Warrick Dunn, and Warrick Dunn was always one of my favorite players. Warrick Dunn was, and if you don't remember him, worked on it like the late 90s, early 2000s, played for the Falcons too, but was this really awesome all-around bat. I would say like he was a Marshall Faulk light. Like he very similar kind of skill set. Anyway, I wanted to get an autograph from him, and everyone you know, said like Warwick Dunn's like one of the nicest guys ever.
So you thought it was a sure thing?
Yeah. And so I offered something out and I was like, Mr. Dunn. Like I was saying, like, you know, Mr. Dunn. I was trying to be super polite. And then he said, like, and then he said, no, you already got one. And I wasn't that upset about it, but my uncle was
It's kind of rude.
Well, my uncle thought it was rude. My uncle was pissed. And my uncle is a very matter of fact guy, like one of my heroes. A guy played football for Kansas. He played baseball in the minor leagues, fought in Vietnam, like just an like superhero kind of guy. And I just remember seeing how mad he was. And I still think he's mad about it to this day, about Warwick Dunn stiffing me.
And so, then you went on to sleep with Warren Dunn's
wife. I was going to say.
No. I'm just talking. This is just about, and I would never do that.
You haven't pulled off the second part of the future story.
Right. Yeah. Also, if you're Larsa Pippen, do what you want, but stop putting it out there. I mean, she's what, in her 50s now?
If you're in your 50s, why not put it all out there?
Paul is calling Larsa Pippen as we speak.
No, I'm not. I have no problem with someone being like forward with what they do sexually. Like what, you know, hey, if you're 50 and you can still get it, then get it.
All about it.
And flex on it. You know, be like Kate Beckinsale. Hell yeah.
She is very hot.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Pix 11 News reporting that the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey announced a number of measures to rein in pricing at airports.
Yes.
After a traveler saw beer being sold at LaGuardia for $28.
Right. And this is an epidemic across the country.
Totally.
So I saw this. This is great. But can we have this take place, I don't know, at all sporting events? Isn't it ridiculous how much you have to pay for like, hey, I want to insert generic domestic beer. That'll be $14. Are you kidding me? You can get a 20-pack for that price if you want. And these people have the audacity to charge you that much. And these broke-ass owners then will try to get the taxpayers to buy them a new stadium. It is preposterous. What stuff costs at stadiums is ridiculous. We're not even talking about good food. It's no wonder people tailgate.
It's not good. And this is one of the reasons that I have a hard time going to a game unless I'm media or, like, in a suite. Because I don't want to, I honestly do not want to pay that much money. And then the viewing experience is usually not good. And you realize that we become spoiled from being in the media and or knowing people and always having good seats and getting free food and drinks.
I'll give this to Minute Maid Park. At least they have alternative options that you would not find at like NRG Stadium or something like that. I think the Mariners ballpark too, also very good with that. Baseball has at least said, all right, well, at least we'll give you some like real legit options from across town. But I would say for the football stadiums and stuff, like if you're walking around NRG Stadium, the options that you have to eat that are as overpriced as they are honestly pretty mediocre. And then on top of that, you're going to charge me $15 for a beer. It's ridiculous. It's price gouging and it's awful. And if they're going to step into New York about this at the airports, they should do this across sports, I think. It's ridiculous.
Totally agree. Because it's not just the ticket prices that get you.
As
our dads remind us, it is the concessions and the parking.
Let me bring in a flask.
Speaking of food, there's a new invention that may help me make my Mexican meals less messy. Researchers at Johns Hopkins University have designed what they're calling Tasty Tape. It's an adhesive invisible tape that makes sure all the items inside wraps, such as burritos, stay locked inside instead of falling apart. I'm interested.
And it's edible?
Yes.
To me, this is the biggest food science breakthrough
ever.
Since, I don't know, the Doritos Locos Tacos. I mean,
great
this
point.
Is... This changes the burrito game forever.
It does.
Burritos are famously unwieldy. I don't like burritos because of that. They're just a pain in the ass to eat. It's like, wait a second. Like, if you get like a big Chipotle burrito and it's like this big, like, where do I bite? Oh no, I bit. Oh no, it's all falling out of the burrito now.
It becomes easier to eat a burrito bowl.
Yes. And
yes.
Have you ever been to Chipotle and you've seen the guy or the kid like try to wrap the burrito and you're just like, oh my God. I'm embarrassed for you.
And then the first bite is like all of the tortilla and then
tortilla.
You got it right.
You got it first time.
It's made from food grade fibrous scaffold and an edible adhesive.
It doesn't sound
it's
good.
It's safe to eat.
Sure. That's
using the word adhesive is tough to get me to eat it.
It's super glue. It's safe to eat. It's fine.
The creators are applying for a patent, so they can't disclose the tape's exact formula. But I speak for myself when I say I will be trying it.
Who invented burritos? Like, what were they thinking?
I think Mexican people, right?
I don't
Carlos
know.
Carlos Burrito.
Yeah.
1875.
No, but like, why? Were they high or something like that? Hey, man, let's see how much food we could get into a couple of tortillas. Because, like, tacos are just so much easier to make. So
they
much
are.
Better, too. They don't, and it's the same concept. You're just not like
but
turning
God,
it into like a into a, essentially a.
You
a,
go to Chewy's and you get a big burrito with the sauce on
ooh,
it.
The sauce
and,
oh. Here comes Vanessa with her just trash takes on Mexican food. You know what? I should have stepped in a little bit more hard. Mm. The idea that you're putting Chewy's on the same level as El Tiempo and Ninfa's is out bleeping rageous.
It is all Tex-Mex.
So it doesn't
it's
mean it's
all Tex-Mex.
Chewy's is like. Chewy's is like a minor league baseball team compared to Ninfa's and El Tiempo.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Like,
you
it's a bad
no
minor league
idea.
Baseball team, too. It's not the Sugar Land Space Cowboys, you know, who
do
play
you
on
believe,
ESPN 92.5.
Ooh, good plug there. Do you believe that the owners are turning on Dan Snyder? Because according to a report from a couple of anonymous NFL owners, they are counting their votes to possibly turn on Dan Snyder. Quote, there's growing frustration about the Washington situation, and not over one issue, but how much smoke there is. I think everybody's getting tired of it. An anonymous team owner told USA Today.
I'm getting tired of all these owners acting like they're turning on Dan Snyder, but being too cowardly to do it publicly. No one likes him. You would have all the public favor with you. Like, The entire United States of America hates Daniel Snyder. No one likes him. Why are you so scared to be out in the open on it? Oh, because some other guys might turn their guns on you?
Good point.
Mark Cuban literally laid out that's why.
Yeah.
When, during the Donald Sterling thing almost a decade ago, where he was like, so, wait, you can just take a team now from anyone? Where it's obvious, like, for me?
Yeah.
Right, right. It's a great point. Michigan basketball coach Juwan Howard reportedly turned down a possible gig with the Lakers.
Oh, this is so great.
He was approached by the Lakers about their high-profile vacancy. Howard declined to move forward,
no one
according to
a
report by ESPN.
How the mighty have fallen. It's always funny when, like, insert sports franchise known for success that still thinks they are the franchise they used to be. And then they just insert big name into coaching search rumors. And then those coaches are like, nah,
they don't
I love
want
it.
If you look at the geriatric state of the Lakers and how obnoxious LeBron has been.
Yes.
Is Michigan legitimately a better and more peaceful gig, even if you're Juwan Howard and you got in a couple fights?
Well, Juwan Howard, to his credit, you can get in fights and not get fired.
Right.
He only got a 5-game suspension.
Yeah, Frank Vogel won a title for them in his first
won
year.
Won a title and is gone. It's
classic.
Absurd. All right, that's been another edition of Vanessa and Gallant. Of course, I'm Vanessa Richard. That's Paul Gallant. Thank you to our producer, Sean Mapes. Up next, you have Jeremy Branham. You have Joel Blank. The Killer Bees from 12 to 3 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a good one, guys.
Peace.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Catch Sugar Land Space Cowboys baseball all season long on ESPN 92.5. Head to slspacecowboys.com to keep up with all the action for the AAA affiliate of the Houston Astros.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.